83 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 3:07 and time. Yes, time for the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. It's a Monday. Just one little bit of a note to let you know about. There is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect through 10 o'clock tonight. Now, of course, a watch meaning that conditions are favorable for the appearance of severe weather, but it doesn't mean it's imminent at this point. So to figure out if it is imminent, all you got to do is keep it right here because we're going to keep you up to date. In fact, Michael and I are both staring at the radar right now. So if we get a little distracted, oh, gee, what is that red thing? So anyway, we've got it here in front of us and we're keeping an eye on it. So all you got to do is keep an ear on us. And we'll be able to take care of you that way. We're going to be able to take care of you with just lots of fun that we're going to be having. Of course, I am joined by crack producer or on crack producer. I'm not sure which, but he's here with us and he is...
Michael Loudon.
Okay, so we're ready to go here. Going to be talking with you about all sorts of things. Apparently, they've got a little select committee on Benghazi that they put together. And some comments were made yesterday that I found sort of intriguing. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. If we get the opportunity, going to be talking about Chrysler, some of the moves that they made last week that I found actually kind of fascinating, and maybe in a good way. Could mean good things for Chrysler. Should be interesting. If we get an opportunity, we will chat about that. Also going to be talking a little bit about, you know what, there's an awful lot of voter enthusiasm that isn't out there. And I'm wondering if I might be on top of the reason why. And we'll chat about that here in just a little bit. So you can look forward to that. Of course, we've got a movie ticket giveaway because we always do. And because, you know, we want to make sure that we give you the fun stuff. Well, they've decided to do it again. Godzilla in theaters again. Now, you know, with this particular, I've only seen the previews. It looks pretty good just from the standpoint of a movie, but I wonder if it'll be successful or not. Could this be the time that they finally break through and make a Godzilla film that people want to see?
Oh, we'll have to wait and see.
I don't know. I mean, the previews look interesting. I mean, they have throughout the preview, at least the one that I've seen, they have tried to make it so Godzilla is kind of this mysterious... We don't know what it looks like, but there's something big out there, and oh my goodness, you know, kind of a, almost a mystery sort of thing, along with the city being destroyed and all that stuff. So
good destruction. I like that in movies.
So it'll be interesting to see how this works out. That one opens this coming weekend. Will it be able to unseat Neighbors, which hit the box office top spot, which unseated Spider-Man 2?
I have a feeling that Godzilla will unseat Neighbors.
You think it will?
Yes.
Okay. Well, somebody's going to get the opportunity to go with three of their friends to check it out for themselves because it's going to be opening up at Celebration Cinema, the Celebration Crossroads in Portage, and you'll be able to do that with three of your friends. When? Not now. You'll be able to see it on Friday or a little bit later when you got the tickets and when it's there, but when can you win them? Not now. Mostly because Michael's in control of the phones and he hasn't come up with whatever it is he's doing over there. I don't know.
Yeah, but I haven't come up with anything yet.
So normally he insists on a trivia question. Quite frankly, I call it a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question because I just want to give you the tickets. So that's coming up a little bit later in the program. You can look forward to that, particularly if you're a Godzilla fan. You know, I like the old ones. I have to admit, some of those old ones, particularly... when they do the English language version on television, you know, the whole, you know, the lips move and then the language
yes.
comes in a little later. I like that. That's fun, you know. And then I guess the original Godzilla, they did an American version of that. And occasionally they added in the guy that that played Perry Mason, who would just come on screen and go, yes, I see. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like they added him just to, okay, well, anyway, it's the history of Godzilla. What could we say? But we've got tickets for you to check out this latest rendition. You know, I've heard some good stuff about this. Ratings on IMDb have it pretty high. So we'll see. Maybe the critics like this one. Maybe you'd like this one. I don't know. But you'll get your opportunity to find out. That also, the video of the day. Mother's Day was yesterday. And, you know, you might as well just let it bleed over to today by enjoying our video today. Stuart Edge, he's a guy that does an awful lot on YouTube. And in this particular version, he's done the Mother's Instant Spa prank. So, I mean, these mothers get to see what happened when they walk up to these three guys dressed in all black robes with a button that says, press this button if you're a mother. When mothers do this, hilarity ensues. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. You need to see it. It is at our website in the blog section. It's down below the news, WKZO.com. Or we've got it posted on Facebook. And if you like us on Facebook, it's already in your news feed. So you'll be able to check it out there as well. All right, we've got all of that. Now, I've looked this up. Politico has talked about this. They talk about a Gallup poll that was conducted end of last month. And they talk about voter enthusiasm. And they're in this particular election, the one that's coming up, 2014, they say that voter enthusiasm is at its lowest level for midterm elections in at least 20 years. 20 years. They say 53% of voters report being less enthusiastic to vote in this election than in previous midterm elections. 35% report being more enthusiastic. That's a major dip in voter enthusiasm from the 2010 midterm elections. Now, 2010, of course, that's when Republicans retook the House and made some significant gains in the Senate. Now, they've said that in 2014, that it looks like, mind you, that Republicans will end up getting the Senate. Now, we say looks like because it's a long ways away, and you never know what'll happen. But still, apparently people aren't necessarily too enthusiastic about it. And you always have to kind of scratch your head and wonder just exactly why. Why people are less than enthusiastic about the upcoming election. Now, I've thought about it and And certainly, you know, you could say, well, you know, Congress has such a low approval rating. But they always have, it seems like. I mean, you know, they're about as, what is it? They're less popular than head lice,
yeah,
or something like that. And apparently venereal disease ranks higher than Congress. But, you know, Congress has been at lows all the time because this is a group of people, regardless of who's in charge, that has the impression, earned or otherwise, that they don't do a lot. So you could say, well, it's Congress. Well, okay, maybe that's a little bit of a part of it. But I think I'm on to something that that makes this even more indicative. I mean, you know, because Congress, and I think it's part of it particularly, you look at Republicans going, well, you know, let's focus on this, let's focus on that instead of on getting business done. You could make that point. But you could also make the point that the Obama administration ties into it as well. And you say, well, Obama's not for an election this year. No. But let's face it, in every presidency, those midterm elections have been seen as a way of rejecting what's going on in the White House. I mean, go back to when Bill Clinton was elected. He was elected. He had Democrats in both houses of Congress. And then we had one of those watershed elections 2 years later, when people said, wait a minute, Mr. Clinton, we don't like what you're doing. And then Republicans ended up in charge in Congress. Fast forward to George W. Bush. 2 years before the end of his term, people get a little upset. They're tired. They're tired of what he's doing. They're tired of what's going on there. And guess what? Watershed election. Democrats take control. Then look ahead to just a couple of years ago. People don't like Obamacare. They don't like the way that it was pushed through. They don't like the way that happened. The president is seen as the one that did all of this. And guess what? Republicans take control of the House, and they make significant gains in the Senate. Now, with all of that, you know that people judge these midterm elections. They judge what's going on in the country. If they like the president, well, then the president's party might end up making some gains. If they don't like the president, uh-oh, look out, at least if you're in the party that is the president's. Now, you could say, all right, we could tie this to the president a little bit, but hasn't he done some things that get some attention and merits some approval? Well, I don't know. I mean, look at it from a certain angle. How popular is Obamacare? Well, it isn't, really. It does not have a majority of people that support it. People either want to change it or just outright get rid of it. And how many have we seen? We've seen report after report of, yes, there's more people that are signing up, but we're seeing somewhere in the neighborhood of 20% of people that are not paying their premiums. Okay, that's not a good sign. The other not so good of a sign is they counted on an awful lot of young people to sign up on the exchanges. Well, guess what didn't happen? Not too many young people that went for that. They decided, you know what? The fines are cheaper. We're going for the fines. Well, in order for it to have the support it needed, there needed to be young people that signed on with that. Been an awful lot of people that have been hit by this. So do you see positivity in that? Well, an awful lot of people would say no. You know, look back to, and you can look at thing after thing after thing that has been done. You know, foreign policy situations. Libya happens. Well, we're going into this, but we're not doing it as a war or battle or an attack. No, this is a kinetic military action. And for most people that just said, what? A kinetic military action can be defined as something where the military moves things. Kinetic.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving things. So, you know, and you see what's happened there, and then you've got Benghazi. That was not exactly a rousing success for the administration. And I've actually read stories where we'd set up bases for some of these people. Now, guess what? Those bases are controlled by terrorists. Oh, boy, what a rousing success. You know, and you can go back and look at other things. I mean, the stimulus plan that the president pushed through when he first got in office, shovel-ready jobs, and, I mean, you know, they guaranteed that unemployment would be low by now. Well, unemployment is lower, but let's look at labor force participation. And it's certainly not as low as what they had predicted. And in predicting low, they were predicting, well, jobs are going to be added. We've got lots of jobs in this. No. Even the president said, you know, some of those shovel-ready jobs weren't as shovel-ready as we thought. And you can go over all sorts of things where he's talked about, well, we want to reduce the size of deficits. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to spend more money. Uh-huh. Yeah, they wanted to reduce the deficit. So the key to that is to spend more money. There's a good idea. And, of course, in running up the debt as a result of this, then he decides, okay, well, we'll cut the deficit. And, of course, Republicans kind of prodded him a little bit, and he cut the deficit to $680 billion, which is still 50% larger than any other president has ever had. Well, you know, that's that standard thing in Washington. You can increase it before you cut it and still look good. So I think some of this has to go to a lot of these people that voted for President Obama, that looked at him and said, you know what? This is the guy that can bring hope. He can bring real change to Washington. And let's face it. I mean, George W. Bush said some of the same things. We're going to change the tone in Washington. And he wasn't able to get that done. And then President Obama came along. Well, we're going to hope and change and things are going to be different. And, you know, we're going to get some things done in Washington. Well, here we are, 5-6 years later. What have we gotten done? What have we gotten done that's been positive? And for people that voted for Obama, I mean, let's face it, for young voters that decided, you know what, I'm going to cast a vote for this guy. I like him. I think he's going to make a way for us. There's going to be jobs. There's going to be this and that and the other. And they were in college when he was first elected president. Well, now, how many of those people are actually working? And I think that's where voter enthusiasm can start going down, because people are going, well, wait a minute, I believed in this guy. I believed he was going to make a change. Well, he's made some changes. I will admit that. He has made changes. But have they been positive changes? And as a result of that, and, you know, you can look at what Republicans have focused on, too. They have not focused on the right things. So you can look at that and say, all right, that paints an interesting picture. As we head for this particular election, will a lot of these young voters stay home? Just say, you know what? This sucks. I can't believe I believed in all of this. I can't believe I fell for it. And what does that end up meaning for the rest of us and for those that do go to vote? Who will go to vote? And what will they be voting for? These are the questions we ask. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I mean, do you feel like at least some of this can land on the shoulders of the president, that people are just not all that encouraged? Or do you think, oh, nope, it's all on Republicans? Love to hear from you. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 803-73. You could text us your thoughts on this. Personally, I kind of think that the blame falls on both parties to a certain degree. The president promised a lot. But here's the thing. Republicans have been back in control in the House. And they've been doing things, you know, okay, yeah, we want to go after, we want Obamacare to go away. Okay, you made your point there. But, all right, we really can't seem to get our house in order. Boehner can't get his troops together. They're going, well, okay, part of us want to do this, and part of us want what we want and nothing else. And if we don't get it, why, we're just going to take our ball and go home. You know, I kind of wonder what you think about this. So I'll tell you what, you give me a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, and we will continue ahead. The Jeremy Lawrence Show, right here on 590 WKZO. Eighty-three degrees in Kalamazoo. Severe thunderstorm watch in effect through 10 o'clock tonight. Still keeping an eye on the radar and that sort of thing. And if you'd like to keep an eye on the radar, you can check it out at WKZO.com. Up towards the top, you will find radar that you can click on and check out. Just watch it sit there in all the different colors. And, you know, it's bright, shiny things. And we love it here.
Yes. Lots of red and green and yellow.
And, you know, nope, that's not Christmas colors.
No. So
we're talking about spring and summer weather colors. But we'll keep an eye on it here and let you know what's going on so that you are in the know. Well, we're talking about, with the 2014 election coming up, there's been some fall off in voter enthusiasm. This was in a Gallup poll that was put out that said, you know, people are not quite as enthusiastic about it. But what are the reasons behind it? For that, we wanted to ask you what you thought, and we'll go to the phones and check in with Jose. Welcome to the program. Glad you're with us.
Hey, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well.
Great, great. Listen, you know, when I came to the United States in 92, I was so excited I was going to get to vote for a president in 94. And I got to vote for my first election at that time. I believe it was for President Clinton in 94, I believe. I don't want to... I'm bad at this state.
It was probably 96, anyway, but yeah.
96.
Yeah.
And 96 for President Clinton. And, you know, I'm a full-time Republican. That's what I am. But this past, in the last election of our president, when President Obama was in, was running for election the first time, I was excited. I went to vote for him, even though I'm a Republican. Mm-hmm. I actually went against my party because I was excited for the things that he was bringing to the table.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I actually went to Pittsburgh to campaign for his office.
Okay.
I actually campaigned to one of the toughest cities. I mean, full of Hillary Clinton at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just full of it, and I was excited. And to be honest with you, the second election of him, I voted against the man. I was very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call. I don't want to call every candidate or everybody who's in government a crook, because they're not all crooks. But you know, I'm so sick and tired. They're human beings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say the things they want people to hear. The good words, the good sentences. And the bad part about all this is all this is brought out by people that write their speeches. They're mm-hmm. not their own speeches. They hire somebody to write them out for them, and it's not even coming out of their own heart.
I do hear you. Jose, I do have to run for a break. I appreciate your phone call today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
-84 degrees in Kalamazoo. Kind of looks, I don't know, a little gray out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some areas, actually, I'm looking at the weather radar that appears on our website, WKZO.com. And that particular radar, one of the things that has been reported, and this was just north of town, they were saying that there were some storms that had some hail in them as well. So there are some storms forming out there, so you want to be aware of that as you head through the area. Of course, you can check all of that out for yourself by going to WKZO.com. You can keep an eye on the weather radar along with us so that we know exactly what's happening. Now, the other thing that, of course, we can do is talk to a weather expert. And, oh, gosh, where could we get a weather expert? I know. Well, let's talk to Bob Larson, and look at that. He just happens to be here.
Yes.
Hi, Bob.
I don't know about expert, but we'll talk about the weather.
Well, Bob, we're sitting in a situation right now. We're looking at, what is it? It's a severe thunderstorm watch.
Correct.
Do we really have anything we're looking at that's just on the horizon here, or are we looking maybe this will happen a little later, or just be ready?
Well, let's break this down. Actually, there actually, at this point in time, are severe storms that are to the east of us, about halfway between here and Detroit, actually a little closer to Detroit at this point,
mm-hmm.
and also to the north, not necessarily severe, but very heavy, just on the north side and northern part of the county, northward to Grand Rapids, with another batch northwest of there toward Muskegon and westward over the lake. We appear to be kind of on the southern and western fringe of where there's a real threat of severe weather. It's a severe thunderstorm watch till 10. The greatest risk of nasty storms is going to be during the first portion of this watch, i.e. the rest of the afternoon and early this evening. And the greatest risk is going to be to our north of Kalamazoo and east of Kalamazoo. Not to say there can't be anything in Kalamazoo and point south, but it's a far greater risk as you go to the north and as you go to the east. And I could see us getting spared with very little in the immediate area. We might just get by without much happening.
Okay.
That's until tomorrow. There are more showers and storms to come, maybe during the overnight and during the day tomorrow. And some of those could be on the strong side, if not severe. So even if we do miss out this afternoon and this evening, we're not completely out of the woods.
Okay. So I guess, the big question is, and, obviously with this stuff, you never know. It can develop at any moment. I mean, we've been watching one of these cells on the radar just develop out of nothing.
Yeah.
This can happen pretty quickly then.
Yes, it can. It can. It is humid. The atmosphere is ripe. It doesn't take much for thunderstorm development. So it's the kind of thing where if you don't have access to a radar, And if you're out and about, just keep a watchful eye to the sky and watch for a sudden darkening and listen in for the thunder, which could be a sign of a developing storm.
Okay. All right. So we're looking at some showers, some thunderstorm activity. Certainly the possibility of it throughout the rest of the day and into the overnight hours. What do we have beyond that?
It comes sporadically anyway, and then tomorrow more of the same. And it won't be as warm tomorrow as today because pretty much cloudy from the get-go. And while it'll still be a little humid, a little sticky, not going to have an opportunity to jump into the 80s. I think we settle for highs in the 70s. And then the front that's helping to trigger all this finally pushes through tomorrow night, and it turns a lot cooler. The rain shuts down temporarily, and temperatures drop into the 40s tomorrow night. And cooler weather on Wednesday, rain redeveloping later Wednesday afternoon, a high barely above 60. Into the 40s again Wednesday night. And at this point, and we talked a little bit about this last week, it looks like a chilly rainfall for Thursday with highs in the 50s. Could end up being lower 50s for highs. And some of that rain could linger into at least early Friday. And again, very cool on Friday with highs only in the 50s.
Okay, but for now, given all the weather that we're talking about, what's the word that you've prepared for us today?
The word that I have is noisy, because even if we don't get hit head-on with storms, it could be a lot of thunder on and off, not only this afternoon, but tonight and tomorrow. So it's going to be noisy at times. These storms can pack quite an impact. Even if they're not widespread, they could be significant in their path. And again, the areas that I'm most concerned about are to the north of Kalamazoo and to the east of Kalamazoo. That's where the greatest risk of severe storms would be, at least heading into this evening.
Okay.
It's a severe thunderstorm watch till 10. And just to brush up on that, because sometimes there's confusion between the difference between a watch and a warning, especially early in the season when we're not used to this. Watch, think of that as kind of a first-stage alert. When a warning comes out, first of all, warnings are much more localized, typically affecting just a portion of a county or two as opposed to half the state. Like we have now, this watch covers most of lower Michigan. When there's a warning, it tends to be just for a county or two and for a shorter duration of time, maybe for the upcoming 20 to 40 minutes as compared to the next several hours. A warning is more of a significant threat and a sign to potentially seek shelter.
Okay, so basically, if you put it into Star Trek parlance a little bit, we're kind of in a yellow alert right now.
I think that works.
Okay, there you go.
I like that reference.
Yeah.
I figured Michael would appreciate that. But well, Bob, I appreciate you keeping an eye on this stuff and letting us know what to expect.
Okay, Jeremy.
All right. Bob Larson with AccuWeather there, keeping us in the know on all of this. And, of course, we'll keep you in the know as we continue to look at this. We'll look at the weather situation, that kind of thing. And we talked a little earlier about voter enthusiasm. It's not doing too well. Why is that? Well, I told you a little bit earlier, and if you missed out on it, I'm going to tell you a little bit again of some of the reasoning, I think, that we're seeing some of that. We'll take your phone calls as well as we continue ahead. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. -85 degrees in Kalamazoo. 590 WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence Show. That would be my name. Wow.
Yes.
See how that works? It's real easy. So now you know what you're listening to. We are keeping an eye on your radar and the weather in general. We are sitting on, as Bob Larson just alluded to a little bit ago, we are sitting on a severe thunderstorm watch that is in effect throughout the area for this is up through 10 o'clock, actually.
Yes.
10 o'clock tonight. So that means conditions are favorable, not that there is one on the horizon and go, you know, run for the hills or for the basement, as it were. So we are going to keep an eye on that. We will let you know as soon as we find out about things so that you are informed. Because, you know, let's face it, you need to know about that stuff. You really do. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about this, and I thought it interesting. Gallup did a recent survey. This survey was done, this was at the end of April, and in this survey they asked if people were enthusiastic about the upcoming election. Are you more enthusiastic or less enthusiastic about things? And, of course, they asked a lot of questions to go with it so that they could do their demographic studies and things like that. This is what they do. They do this for a living. But in this survey that Gallup put out, 53% of voters report being less enthusiastic to vote in this election than in previous midterm elections. Only 35% report being more enthusiastic. That is a major dip in enthusiasm over the 2010 midterm elections. Now, here's the thing. I look at this with kind of a two-pronged look. First of all, yes, Republicans do have some of the blame for this, because as they focused on things in the House, they kind of get this idea that, you know what, the American people are with us and they believe what we believe, and here we go, we're just going to push this, and we don't really see any need to actually talk about it. Instead of educating voters and saying, all right, you elected us, and here's what we're championing for you. And you don't see that. They're really not doing that. I think some of it just, and this is a gut reaction from me, but I think some of this has to do with who's speaker right now and his ability or lack of same to be able to put it all together and to be able to say to people, all right, we believe in this and we're going to champion this for you. They do it. They do champion things, but I don't think they always educate the voter to say, all right, we're looking at this and here's why. Now, that said, the other side of the coin, President Obama, what has he focused on in the time that he's been in office? Because let's face it, these midterms are often more about what's going on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue versus what's going on in the Capitol. And with these, I mean, look at what the president has put forward. You know, you hear things like, well, all right, you know, the stimulus plan, this is going to bring jobs, shovel-ready jobs, let's do it, let's go ahead. They pass it, and nothing happens. Where are these jobs? They don't show up. And this is the kind of stuff that, took place with that. Now, then they said, all right, you know, and I can remember back when they were trying to push Obamacare through. And one of the things I remember doing at the time, I wrote to my then senator and said, look, I do not support what you're doing. I don't think this is the route to get to, you know, more jobs in this country and that kind of thing. And I got a letter back basically saying, well, we do need to focus on jobs. And what better way to focus on jobs than by looking at health care? Yeah, I scratched my head on that one, too, because I couldn't figure out where he was coming from. So, you know, when I saw this and I saw that, you know, that he decided to vote for that, oddly enough, he didn't run for re-election after that. Oh, imagine. But, you know, then you see some of that. You see how, okay, well, you know, Obamacare, nobody wanted that. It was a minority that wanted it, and instead it was jammed down the throats of the majority that didn't. And you've had, you know, time and again where it's proved out that, wow, this really doesn't seem to be working out so well. Let's look at what the president has done internationally. You could point at Libya. You could point at, well, we're going to reset relations with Russia. We're going to have a better deal going on internationally. You drew a red line for Syria, and then, oh, well, I didn't really draw that. No, of course not. And then think about Benghazi. I mean, there's so much that happened there that we don't know what really took place, and you don't get a lot of answers about it. You know, and all sorts of things that he's pointed at, well, you know, clean energy and that kind of thing, Solyndra. And over and over and over again, this is the guy that ran on hope and change, doing things differently. He has been a fantastic speaker. But when it comes to a doer, you don't see it. It just isn't getting done. And you got to think that, you know, with some voters, they're looking at all of these guys and going, why do I want to vote for any of you? It doesn't seem like anybody's getting anything done. And mostly what's happened is the same thing that's been happening for years. And it's one of those deals where you get, you know, one side you see Boehner going, well, you know, if the president would just come work with us, and we'd be able to get things done. And on the other side, the president, now look, the Republicans won't work with me. Otherwise, we'd get things done. It goes on and on and on. I mean, you know, let's point fingers at each other instead of getting things done. And for your average voter, they're going to look at this and go, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Didn't I vote for the two sides to be able to get together and get things done? Because let's face it. I mean, Democrats are not going to take completely over in Washington. There will always be Republicans there. And on the flip side of that, Republicans will not take completely over in Washington. There will always be Democrats there. So at some point, these people need to be able to get together and be able to work on a few things.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. And another reason why I think voter enthusiasm could be down is because there's no new fresh blood, no new candidates to look forward to. It's the same old people over and over again, either same name, you know, family name, or just the same candidates. Nothing, nobody new out there.
Think about 2016. What are the big names that are running for office? On the Democratic side, yeah, you said it without my even saying it, Hillary. Hillary Clinton. How do I know that name? That's right, President Bill Clinton. Okay. And on the Republican side, Jeb Bush. How do I know that? Oh, wait, two previous presidents were Bush. Okay. You know, it's so true. There's how many different candidates that continue running? I mean, what was it? John Dingell decides, okay, we're going to step down and ta-da, his wife runs.
Yeah.
Okay, there's somebody different running for the office. And how many different people have run for office that it's, well, that's, you know, that's this person's son or this person's nephew or, you know, and oddly enough, I can recognize the name that goes with that. You know, there's not that fresh idea, fresh blood, fresh ideas that you see and you should see on both sides. Yeah, and people did that to a bit of a degree with Obama because, well, here's a young, fresh face, new guy, all right, making history, okay. But that only goes so far until you get to the point where, like, all right, what are they getting done? Well, so far they're looking at President Obama going, okay, all he's really done is raise taxes and cause problems and complicate things, really. And, you know, look on the Republican side, well, what are they doing? Complicating things. And both sides are pointing the finger at each other. No wonder it's got to the point where people going, good grief, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't help.
All they do is argue with each other and accomplish nothing.
And, you know, there would be an awful lot of people that would say, you know, at a time like this, maybe what we need to do is have a third choice. There would be people that would say a third party would be appropriate. And I think right now is one of those times a third party could flourish. But here's the difference. If you had a third party, where would they draw their voters from? Where would voters come from in a third party that would be able to get some sort of a plurality, as it were? Can't really draw it from the conservative side of the Republican Party. You can only get so much there. You're not going to draw it from the liberal side of the Democratic Party. You're not going to draw it there. And moderates, I don't know, it's almost like they've disappeared a little bit. I think you could get it in the middle somewhere. But the problem is in the middle, you can't really point to anything and go, here's what we believe and here's what we stand on. Because if in the middle, it's kind of like, well, here's what we believe sometimes, and here's what we can stand on, sort of. I don't know. I just scratch my head over this one. But obviously, politicians have their work cut out for them. We're going to continue talking with you. Benghazi has come up, an interesting headline over that. We'll share that with you. Talk about Chrysler as well as the program continues here on WKZO. Keep it right here.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.